where we're going tonight. I've attempted to preach this message several times, and I've shared bits and pieces of it, and Lord willing, tonight I'm going to share more bits and pieces of it. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Praise the Lord. When you find that portion of Scripture or gets thrown up on the screen here tonight, you can stand with us for the reading of our text, reading of God's Word here tonight. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have God's Word? You know, really, we are so blessed because of God's Word and God's instruction. Did you know God's Word gives us understanding of about everything we're going to need in life? I'm going to share some things with us tonight about the common areas of our lives from the book of Colossians, because it's really just rich. Just reading it, this chapter is rich. But as we begin to expound upon it and kind of go a direction with it here tonight, I hope that it comes alive to us. That's my desire, that God would just bring His Word alive to you and I. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12 says, put on. This may take a while. Put on. That's not talking about putting it on or putting somebody on. In other words, it's not talking about a lie or being deceitful. It's talking about something that is our responsibility because we're the redeemed. Because we have access to all power in heaven and earth. We have access to Jesus Christ. So put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved. What are we going to put on? We're going to put on bowels of mercies. We're going to put on kindness. We're going to put on humbleness of mind. We're going to put on meekness. We're going to put on long-suffering. You know, I'm reading it just a little bit different because I want you to understand all these things that he's talking about is my responsibility to put into my life. Putting on or putting in and on are both prepositions, so it's going to work either way. Hallelujah. So, putting in, putting on, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you see that there's any way to get around that? Is there any option in the life of a child of God to get around that portion of Scripture and not realize that's how God wants me to live? Woo! Now, getting it done, it is our responsibility. And it's up to us to do whatever it takes to get it done. Amen. Praise God. I want to preach tonight. The title of this message tonight is Now and Again. Praise God. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you for your word, God. It's forever settled in heaven, Lord, and it is the instruction of the righteous. God, I pray, help us tonight, Lord God, to receive your word. Lord, to be strengthened by your word and to be transformed by your word. God of heaven, just have your wonderful way with us here this night. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we are redeemed. Praise be to our God. You may be seated again this evening. Amen. A.W. Tozer. I read a lot after A.W. Tozer right now. Amen. I'll pick up probably next year, start reading after Oswald Chambers again. You know, Oswald Chambers will just really straighten you out. All you got to do is read Oswald Chambers' devotionals and you'll realize just how weak and how lacking we are as Christians sometimes. Hallelujah. So A.W. Tozer actually does the same thing. I just like to read after men that's going to make me miserable and make me want to change. Praise God. I just do. That's the way. That's just the way it's always been for me. But he titled this devotion to things holy. Are you devoted to holy things? Or are you devoted to worldly things? What are you devoted to? You and I will be devoted to something or someone because it's in our makeup how God created us. We have that desire down in us to be devoted to something. I'm glad that you're devoted to God. I'm glad that I'm devoted to God. I want to be devoted to holy things. And he goes on to say, success in any field is costly. How many want to be a success as a child of God? I mean, you realize some folks aren't successful at it. You have to be determined to be successful. Why? Successful in any field is costly. But the man who will pay the price can have it. The concert pianist must become a slave to his instrument. 4 hours, 5 hours each day, he must sit at that keyboard, practice. The scientist must live for his work. The philosopher must devote himself to thought. The scholar to his books. The price may seem excessively heavy, but there are some who consider the reward is worth the price. The law of success operate also in the higher field of the soul. Spiritual greatness has its price. Eminence in the things of the spirit demands a devotion to these things more complete than most of us are willing to give. But the law cannot be escaped. If we would be holy, we know the way. The law of holy living is before us. The prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New, and more than all, the sublime teachings of Christ are there to tell us how to succeed. God's word is right there before us to show us how we can become a spiritual success. Praise our God. Now, and again, you'll start getting an understanding of this now and again. Hallelujah. As we're reading here in Colossians, we're seeing there's things that we need to put on. There's things that we've got to put in. There's things that we've got to become. There's ways that we've got to embrace. And it's not a matter, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I did good today. Will I? Tomorrow I may slack up. I don't know. I mean, no, it's a matter of devotion. It's a matter of today, and it's a matter of tomorrow. Because today is not tomorrow, and tomorrow is not today. Now you're getting a little bit of understanding of now and again. Hallelujah. It's an everyday devotion. It's an everyday process. It's an everyday fighting the fight of faith. It's doing it right now and doing it again tomorrow. Hallelujah. You will find as you begin to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of our Almighty God, you will find that there is only grace for today. Until tomorrow becomes today. And then you must live for God today. Hallelujah. I'm sure your reality and your mind may run to what Paul had to say. And Paul was an advocate of now and again. When he made that glorious statement, I die daily. Wow, what was he saying? He was saying now and again. Hallelujah. It's not a one-time fix to overcome that old man. It's not a one-time, second, definite work of sanctification that puts the old man down and he never raises his head again. I've never yet seen anybody that claims second, definite work of sanctification that didn't need some more of it. I just haven't met him yet. Hallelujah. Because it's not real. It doesn't happen. You've got to die every day. You've got to sanctify every day. If you get a little unsanctified, you got to repent and get it sanctified. Hallelujah. When knowledge of wrongdoing comes to your mind, you've got to do something about it now. And if it happens again, you got to do it again. Woo, hallelujah. I think now you're starting to get the picture. Now and again, you're pressing into the kingdom of God. You're pressing into the Spirit of God. You've got to do it now. Tomorrow you're going to have to do it again. Hallelujah. Whatever it took for you to move into the presence of a holy God this very day, tomorrow you'll have to do it again. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we begin to realize and understand that it's not going to be just a one-time experience with God, then everything's going to go great. It's going to be a continual entering into the presence of a holy God, continually calling on His name. Do you realize the Bible says pray without ceasing? The Bible talks about being continually in prayer and supplications. Hallelujah. Why? Because prayer is the avenue whereby we keep ourselves in check with our God, in check with the Word of God, in check with the Spirit of God. But if we go our way and we don't pray, well, we're going to have to sanctify it again. Woo, hallelujah. You'll find as you begin to walk with the Lord, you're going to find that you're going to have good days, you're going to have great days, and you're going to have bad days. You're going to find yourself on cloud nine, if you will, on the mountaintop, fighting the devil in the valley, and I mean, you're doing good, and before you know it, all of a sudden, wow, where'd that come from? Why did I do that? Well, got to take care of that now. And I understand sooner or later I'll probably have to take care of it again. We are but flesh. We have to live in this body of flesh. That's why we're going to get a new body. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to get a glorified body. The flesh will be gone. Hallelujah. When that trumpet sounds and we're changed in that twinkling of an eye, this old body of flesh is going to be gone. We're going to get an immortal body. Hallelujah. An incorruptible body, which means the old carnal nature will not be there anymore. That's why I want to keep fighting. Hallelujah. Because I want that day. I want that time. I don't want to have to battle this old man anymore. But the only time that's going to happen when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. And we've gone to heaven. So here, we're going to fight. We're going to fight till the battle's over. Hallelujah. Woo! What battle? Whatever battle's in front of you. What battle? Whatever battle you're going to be fighting now and again. Hallelujah. We've been teaching about the temperaments. As we learn about our temperament, as we learn about those things that are common areas we fight, we all have them. That's kind of the synopsis of this whole teaching. We all have areas that we have to fight now. We'll have to fight them again. But what's the most important part I want to get across to you here this night is the reality is becoming wise to the tactics of the enemy. Becoming wise to the way the enemy kind of provokes us in our weak areas. Whoa. And we find ourselves there. You remember what Paul said? You know, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. And, you know, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody in here really wants to act carnal. I really don't think any of us want to act carnal. But every one of us are going to find ourselves acting carnal at one point or another. Sometime. Don't think you're above carnality because you just were carnal. I mean, that's just the reality of it. If you don't think you have any carnal problems, there's the problem. That's just it. That's pride. We've got to realize we all have carnal weaknesses. If they're not put in check, and if we're not paying attention to what we're doing, they show up just at the time you wish they wouldn't. That's why it's now and again. That's why it's a continual process of sanctification. That's why we continually pray. That's why we continually read. Don't put any scriptures up there. Can anybody quote me Colossians 3 and 12 without looking at your Bible? I just read it to you. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to prove a point here of how forgetful I am. I am that forgetful. I have to look at it and read it again. But see, I just read it. This is not the first time I've read it. I've read this for three Sundays. I've read this scripture, studied this scripture, went over this message, seeing if I needed to add any, take any away, what we preachers do. We don't want it to be too long, but yet we don't want it to be too short because we want to give you meat. We don't want to just give you a fluff. Hallelujah. But I couldn't quote it. I could tell you some of it. See, but that's why we've got to be continually in it. Young people, that's why you got to be continually in it. That's why you got to be continually in it. See, your minds are better than ours, but none of you could probably tell me exactly what that verse said without looking at it. Even though we read it, and even though you read it up there. Because that's the best way to hear it and read it, to remember it, but usually it slips away sometimes. Sometimes, oh yeah, I got it. Sometimes I don't. Oh, now and again. Hallelujah. Have you read the Bible through? Yes. Do it again. It's not a one-time deal. Hallelujah. I wish I could read it once and remember every word of it. But I can't. I don't have that kind of mind. And maybe even when I was young, I didn't have that kind of mind. I just don't have that kind of mind. I had a pretty good memory, but I forgot it. I don't know. It went somewhere. Praise God. So now and again, are you getting the picture? So now let's move on. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 14. These are awesome portions of Scripture. They really are. Now, this is a reference back to 12 and 13. And Paul says, and above all these things. Okay? Above what? I'm just going to go back and kind of review it because we may have forgot it. Above bowels of mercy, above kindness, above humbleness of mind, above meekness, above long. These are rough enough to do. Above forbearing one another, above forgiving one another, above quarreling with one another. Above even forgiving one another, above all these things, put on charity. Wow. What is charity? Charity is the old man's dead. I reckon him dead. I refuse to give him place. That's putting on charity. Putting on charity is I am relinquishing my rights to my God. And no matter what anybody does to me, I will forgive them. No matter what any believer may do or say to me or about me, I will forgive them. Because I reckon myself dead. I have no right to be offended. Can I say that again? I have no right to be offended. None. None whatsoever. What is that? That means I have put on charity. I have put on charity. Hallelujah. You see, this is higher ground. You know, this is some of those things of God's word. You can go higher and deeper at the same time. Woo! Higher and deeper. This is the depths of the kingdom of God. This is not just born again by the Spirit of God. This is way past that. This is not just being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. This is a whole lot deeper. Above all these other things, above speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, Paul said, forbid not to speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all do, but what we've got to have is charity. Hallelujah, because charity covers it all. Woo, hallelujah. And so putting on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Whoa. In other words, in my striving for perfection, my striving to be perfect as God is perfect, my striving to be holy as God is holy, all is wrapped up in putting on charity. 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 Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Do you realize the peace of God is synonymous with faith? Yeah. You let your faith in God bring you peace. Know that God is your avenger. Know that God takes care of his own. To the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Do you know it's very important to be thankful for all God's blessings, all God's trials, all God's tests? Woo, hallelujah. I mean, thankfulness, what is that? That's, once again, that's a reality of the old man. It's not a matter whether it's convenient for me. It's not a matter whether it's easy on me. It's a matter of, is this pleasing God? Is this honoring my God? Is this acceptable to my King? Woo, hallelujah, my King. Hallelujah. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now we're back to the word of God again here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. In other words, that word of God becoming part of you, dwell in you richly. Wow. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's another scripture of why we sing spiritual songs, why we sing hymns, why we quote psalms, as Brother Edenfield did about the Psalms of Ascension. Woo, praise God. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, singing with joy. Grace, the grace of God in your heart is once again synonymous with joy. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Holy Ghost, that grace of God, singing with joy. Praise God. I was being ornery to the choir when they were practicing Sunday night. Some of them were standing up here with their hands in their pockets. And I just... And then it was all over. I look at everybody's face. And I said, all right, now remember, you're happy when you're singing. Smile. Smile when you're singing. I realize sometimes it's hard to reach. I realize sometimes you hear the screech. I realize sometimes you're just not quite on. I've been there multitudes of times. Hallelujah. I don't know how my wife endured me when I was learning to try to sing parts and harmony. It just, I'm surprised she's still sane. Praise our God. But if there's anything that I have ever learned about singing, it was sing with a smile. Sing like you're happy. I like that old song, I sing because I'm happy. Hallelujah. Because I am. I'm happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I've got joy. I sing because I want to praise my God. Smile. Praise our God. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, Sister Lindsay, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In other words, do it with humbleness of mind to the reality that God is the one who has brought you this far. Giving God the glory for wherever I have achieved to in my walk with him. Because it wasn't because of my intelligence. It wasn't because of how wise I may have been or wanted to be. It was because the Spirit of God began to dwell in me. and it began to bring the Word of God alive to me. And that's why all the glory goes to our God. Now we move into those portions of Scripture that everybody shudders when you start reading. Verse number 18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord," which means it is right in the Lord. But then here's the more stronger: "Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them." In other words, treat them like you love them. Don't just expect them to do. Show them how it's done. Loving your wife and not treating them or belittling them or downing them or railing them. That's what it's talking about. Be not bitter or hateful to them. Wow. Children. Oh, wow, he leaves nobody out. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." In other words, honoring your father and your mother, obeying your parents. Now I realize, and I understand, and I want you two to understand. I want you to understand also, he's not telling children that if their parents are sinners, to be sinners like them. It's not what he's saying. He's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to followers of Christ. He's talking to young people who have been raised in church. That's who he's talking to. And he's letting them know that it is your place to obey your parents. It's your place to receive the instructions they give you. First of all, they're older than you are. They've been there. They've done that. And they've got the victory over it. Hello. That's why the admonition, children, know that your parents have been children before. That's why you are to listen to them, because they have knowledge and experience you do not have. Do you realize if we listen to those that are around us that are older than us and have served the Lord, that we can save ourselves a whole lot of heartache? Because you don't have to learn by experience. You can learn from knowledge. And if you have to experience it, then you will know how to be victorious in it, because the knowledge you listened to when it came. Woo, praise our God. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Once again, fathers, do not browbeat your children. Do not speak down to your children. You know, just help them. You know, number one, the Bible tells you and I as Christians to always speak words that are edifying. Now, we take that serious when we're preaching. We want to speak words that are edifying, but do you speak words that are edifying to your children? Do you build them up? Do you prop them up? Do you keep them up? Or do you beat them down? You got to put it on. Sometimes children, I'm sorry children, but sometimes children do dumb things. But in spite of all that, sometimes adults do dumb things too. Because we're all human. And children are just learning. Yeah. And adults sometimes are just learning. Yeah. I've learned a lot of things this year. Oh, wow. Well, the way the Spirit of God's been moving in this house and in this place and in my heart and in my life, I've learned a lot of things about myself I just have never seen before. Wow. And then I got to take care of it now. And again, hallelujah. It's how it works, church. It's just how it works. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Jason Lucas come walking up to my house. I had worked on a sump pump, gas-powered sump pump for him.
And I looked up, and here they walked. I said, oh, my, here comes boss one and boss two. And Jason's over the construction side, and Brother Lucas is going to be over the pool division, and I'm working probably in both sides. So here I am. My son and my son-in-law are my boss where I work. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. I think it's humorous, you know, because I don't have a problem with it. I just do whatever they tell me to do. I hired on to work. And that's what this scripture's talking about. It doesn't make a difference who your boss is. I've had some bad ones. It wasn't Jason or Lucas. Oh, I've worked in some places, and I've had some bad bosses. I have. I had one that was really, really cantankerous with me. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was cantankerous with him. Maybe I didn't act like I should act. But we had a run-in one day, and I just more or less told him how the cow ate the cabbage, if you know what I mean. And I no longer went back to work. I had to go apologize to my boss for the way I had behaved. And you know, from that day forward, we was the best of friends. It's just, that's what this scripture's talking about. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I try to encourage people over and over again, and especially students, you got to realize everything you're doing, you've got to do it for Jesus. From schoolwork to chores at home, if you want to be successful in life, everything you do, do it as to the Lord. You're doing it for Him. You're not doing it for your boss. You're not doing it for mom. You're not doing it for dad. You're doing it for Jesus. But in the process, because you are obeying mom and dad, you're doing it for Jesus. In the process, because you are obeying your boss and doing what you're told to do, you're doing it for Jesus. So and that way you don't have to get grudging and hateful and bitter and mumble underneath your breath. Realize you're doing it for Jesus. And Jesus will bless your efforts and your work. And He will increase your ability. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. I learned that a long time ago. When you put whatever you put your hand to do, you're doing it for Jesus. You're doing it for the Lord. And you'll find that your boss will appreciate that because, hey, I don't think anybody wants to do Jesus wrong. Woo. Hallelujah. And when you're doing it for Jesus, then it's on your mind, I'm doing this for the Lord. And you actually watch what you're doing and you do the best you can do. Praise God, because you're doing it for Jesus. That's what He's talking about. And then He goes on and then He says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You see, all this that I've just read, all this admonition, all this instruction, I have to do today. I'll have to get up in the morning tomorrow, and I'll have to do it again. My determination for today will be nothing for tomorrow. Tomorrow, I will have to take up the same determination and serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have to do that now, and I will have to do it again. Now, Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 42, these next portions of Scripture deal with forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do, even though we've been forgiven. It's kind of a strange thing because our sins were scarlet, and He washed them white as snow. I mean, you know, the reality, it's just the matter of that reality that I've been forgiven. Who am I not to forgive someone else. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, frankly, he forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? So here we find that there is degrees of sin, but yet Christ forgives all sin. But which one will love him the most? How much do you love Jesus for the sins he's forgiven you? Do you love him enough to forgive somebody else? Whoa. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? In other words, Peter was bringing all this to Jesus' attention here, thinking, I'm doing a good thing here. Seven's God's perfect number. Seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say unto you, or I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Wow. Do you keep count of how many times you've forgiven somebody, that one person? Have you hit 490 yet? If you have, go ahead and go to 491. Because that's what Jesus means. You just always forgive. How many times has Jesus forgiven you? If we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us our sins. Hallelujah. Some would say, well, they haven't confessed it, so I don't have to forgive it. I'll let you wrestle with that one. Mark 11:25-26. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So now we've moved to the realm that if you won't, God will not either. But the other side is if you will, God will too. See, a lot of it depends on us, doesn't it? Our willingness to be in surrender to our God now and again. Because there's always going to be some things, offenses. Jesus said offenses will come. But then his word covers what to do if they come. Praise our God. I'm going to close with this. Whoa, I need to. Don't quit. In other words, it's now and again, church. Don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is peculiar with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when you might have won had you stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. To stick to the fight when you're the hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Praise our God. That's what we have to take as our motto. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. just now and again on a continual basis every day following Jesus. There's no place that we need to quit because the victory's just around the corner. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight if you could. Amen. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano this evening? Hallelujah. Just a simple message here tonight of the reality of our Christian life and knowing it takes tenacity, it takes devotion, it takes determination, it takes commitment. Hallelujah. It takes getting up, brushing ourselves off, and keeping at the fight. Keeping at running the race, fighting the fight of faith, laying a hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. Everything you will find in the scriptures always talks about some type of conflict that we must press through to find that fullness of God. Oh, hallelujah. And that is the higher plane. That's the deeper depth. And it's on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Day in, day out. Here it comes again. Let's fight. Praise God. Let's fight for the King. Let's live for the Lord. Let's walk in that newness of life. Hallelujah. Let us continue to press forward. Let us continue to hear what the Spirit says unto the church, because God is continuing the work He has begun. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Could you lift your hands unto the Lord here tonight? Father in heaven, Lord, we worship You. Hallelujah. You're our provider. Lord, You're our Prince of Peace. Lord, You're our instructor. Oh, Lord, You know everything about us. And You are helping us, Lord, day by day. Just that wonderful one day at a time, God. Pressing forward. Going on with Jesus. Going on with Jesus. Not quitting. Not giving up. But going on with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Depend on one.